Imagine being with Gary Oldman, all the cast, and you are on set and you are with them. I can ask him questions like, how is it when you are just an emerging actor? Or speaking about life, he's so grounded. It's beautiful. You're coming on set for that huge show for the first time. The first day shooting, I felt like, oh, yeah, I know this place. All the team around you, it makes you feel you are a family. I won this tournament in karate. I got the medal. I'm feeling like flying, right? The moment you put your feet down from a podium, you're not anymore that champion. So being grounded helps any one of us. There is one point that changed my life. Going for a summer camp, studying acting, thinking I'm gonna become a better actor, I came back a better person.
Hey everyone, I'm Billy and welcome back to Half the Picture. I'm so stoked to say that our guest this episode is actor Monty Benn, who most recently featured in Slow Horses opposite the amazing Gary Oldman. Now, Monty isn't just an actor, he's also a karate world champion. So, I mean, of course, I'd bring that up in the interview. Monty was such a pleasure to speak to, and it was so great hearing about his experience on set. I think you're really going to enjoy this chat. By the way, don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast, as it really helps us get more amazing guests like Monty on the show. So, without further ado, let's roll on my conversation with Monty Benn. Enjoy. Hello, Monty. Welcome to Half the Picture. How are you doing, Chief?
Hello. I'm good. And you?
I'm doing very well. I've never called anyone Chief before on this podcast, but so you're the first. first time for everything, I guess.
Thank you for that. Thank you. It's my honor. It's my honor.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, it's funny, though, because speaking of, I guess, chiefs, we've got you on to talk about your acting work in Slow Horses Series 5, the most recent series, which was fantastic. And you play the character Farouk, who I guess you could say is kind of the chief of this sort of group of terrorists, sort of antagonists to the main characters of Gary Oldman and the Slow Horses themselves. And I guess for you, so you've had such a sort of fascinating, distinguished career over the course of it. You know, before you became an actor, you were this, you know, world-class karate champion. You were an expert in mixed martial arts. You then moved into sports science and then, you know, came to acting. And I guess I just wanted to ask as a kickoff, what was it about acting that drew you to it and made you want to pursue it after doing all that, you know, having had the career that you've had?
Good question. If you ask me, like, maybe 10 years ago, if I would one day become an actor, I wouldn't know the answer, you know. It's just when I retired from sports, you feel like that emptiness after any career, right? When you stop, you have been doing that for years, morning, afternoon. So you feel like this emptiness and what's next? And many people told me, why not theater? You know, try theater. The first day, or the first time on stage, was just magic. And I fell in love with acting, being on stage, and trying to, I would say, discover yourself from many other perspectives than just sports and performance, you know, and studying. Yeah.
That's kind of the journey to, you know, from mixed martial arts championship to Gary Oldman antagonist actor. I mean, with that change then, because obviously there's a performance element to acting, of course, but I feel like there's maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe there's a performance element too to the work you did before when you were, you know, karate champion and then mixed martial arts. I mean, going from that into acting, were there sort of any disciplines that you took from, you know?
Yeah. I mean, of course, I've been doing karate first. I did mixed martial arts at the end of my career, and I'm still doing that because I love that. But I've been like a professional karate player. Doing any martial arts, it changed your life forever, who you are. So basically, doing karate, discipline, perseverance, discovering all these challenges and keep going, and all that things, of course, is gonna help any kind of career. That's why many kids that have been done martial arts, especially when they were young, then they have like more skills to succeed in life. Karate was my life, and it brings, of course, who I am, from being serious to what I do, having these objectives, knowing what you want, day to day and having these long-term objectives, discipline, perseverance, and having this, you know, I would say this character that you bring to this skills of acting. Not like I would say, yeah, any karate player would become an actor. No, I think it helps you to when I would say it gives you tools to succeed more than the other person. That's I would, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was sort of researching your work and your career, that's the impression I got. I remember you talking a lot about how that discipline and that sort of work ethic, I guess, is part of what you're describing, really served you well when it came to breaking into acting. And it kind of reminds me of the actor Adam Driver, Adam Driver, he's done amazing work, obviously, like Star Wars and sort of the biggest stuff. And also all the independent films he's done. I mean, he was a Marine, he was a soldier before he then broke when he was younger and broke into acting. And I think he talks a lot about how that discipline, that really rigorous discipline, sort of served him so well moving into acting. Because acting, you know, especially film acting and television acting, that, you know, can be a tough gig. I mean, not just the audition process, but also like the shoots, you know, you never get enough sleep, you know, it's long hours, it's a tough grind. But it sounds like that really set you up for that in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You have to be prepared. Doing sports or military or any kind of, even art before that, you know, art in general, okay, helps you to develop that toughness, the mental toughness, because our job is about failure, right? So you receive more no's than yes. And that's where karate, every morning, you wake up, you try new things, and you fail, and you fail, and you fail, and you prepare for the championship, and then you won't lose, you won't win from the beginning, right? You have always things to discover. And acting, I think, it's the same. Science also the same. Any career you do, if you start doing something and you come and you think it's easy, then that's the problem. nothing is easy. I think that's why the new generation, they think that, okay, I'm going to start now, you know, because they see maybe Instagram, everyone is successful.
Mm.
What is the journey behind that? How all these people reached there? Because we only see that face, right? The before is hard. It's a lot of toughness. And how many actors, they have decided to quit? Or they said, I'm going to quit, but they keep going. Quit and keep going, you know? That's where I think you have to be tough mentally and keep believing in yourself. Perseverance is key here, and discipline. Because if there is no discipline, then it's gonna be hard.
Mm. So tying that into Slow Horses, then, what was the casting process like for you then coming in as Farouk? Because I want to say did you try out for a few roles and then Farouk was the one that you kind of gravitated towards?
First of all, I received the casting for like any casting role, which is you receive from your agent a self tape that you have to do, and the chance that casting directors get back to you is very, very low. And I remember I was driving and my agent just texted me, you know, he's telling me, Nina Gold loves your tape. That moment is key for me. When someone like Nina Gold, and I thank her for that and her team for that, he's telling me that, it's unbelievable. You know, you know that you start to progress and get in a small feed there, you know. But then after that, we got the callback. I didn't cast for only Farouk. I did the tape for the three characters, which is Farouk and Sammy, I guess. I forgot the other name, sorry.
So Farouk's like Farouk's sort of buddy, right? Like
Farouk
the,
buddies, yeah. I did it for all of them. But there's something in Farouk that triggered me the most when doing a casting. And even in the callback, I've done the three of them. And later we just received the call, you're going to be Farouk in Slow Horses, which is a huge, I mean, it's something fantastic, man. I mean, I would wish this for any actor, man. Being in a such show, yeah.
Yeah, man. No, you did a fantastic job. And with Farouk then, because you said there, like something in Farouk, you were trying out for those three parts, but then something in Farouk spoke to you. And I was curious to ask, like, what was it about Farouk that drew you in, that spoke to you?
I mean, when you read Farouk on paper, you would feel this fearless toughness, and you know, kind of two-dimensional, right? But when you really play it, so first when you read it, you haven't played yet, you haven't analyzed yet, you haven't do the job yet behind the stage before doing this the tape, and then you start to understand who is Farouk. Then you have a three dimension, right? That's where it starts to any kind of papers start to speak, and you bring the character to life. And when I've done that with the two other parts, of course, it was lovely, it was nice. But maybe because Farouk, for me, was the most challenging for me to do it. Sami has, for example, had more. There is human being in it. He still doesn't want to do this, but at the same time, he wants to do it. But Farouk, he's very determined. So it's going to be hard to bring him alive and make him why he's doing that, why he's killing this, killing that, and doing that, and see the human behind it. That's the thing that challenged me and it spoke to me.
Mm. Well, there's definitely that in the character and in your performance, because as you say, the other characters in that unit, as you say, like Sami is kind of the most sort of on the surface, quote unquote.
Indecisive. Yeah. Yes.
Indecisive, and also kind of the most, in some ways, the most vulnerable on the surface.
Yes.
Because he's very sort of open with how he's unsure about what they're doing. He's got second thoughts. And then your friend, sort of the heavy, is kind of the muscle, and he'll kind of go where you're going. But as with you, with Farouk, there's a stoicism there. Like he is, because you know 100% that he is committed to his mission, which is to cause, you know, to enact revenge, essentially, for the damage that was done to him. But then also there's a vulnerability. And I think film acting and CUV acting is all about, they say it's all about the eyes. Like less is more. And I think with your performance, something that I really found was that, like, there are scenes of you guys in the car where, like, Sami is kind of like, I'm not going to do this. But then, and you can see the pain of Farouk as well, but there's a stoicism there, which is, I know he's determined, he's not going to stop, but he understands on some level. And obviously he's in pain too, but he's going to keep going. And I think you capture that really well in the subtlest of details, of nuances. So, you know, yeah.
You see, I'm very happy why you're saying that. But because basically that was the deal, right? To show that pain in the eye, behind the performance, what he's doing, the most incredible thing that could happen, a person could do, right? But understanding that was my challenge, was my mission. You bring questions, right? Why he's doing that? What is that pain behind his eye? And that's why I think the beauty of Slow Horse's writing. That's why Will Smith is strong.
Mm.
You know, show, don't tell. So
yes.
what is being said is completely different than what is being in the eye, in the behavior. And that's lovely. I mean, when you play is such role and is such show, I'm very grateful for that, because, and I'm happy because now you are saying absolutely what is meant to be done for the character. And at the end, we understand, of course, even though we don't say the whole story, but we understand why they are doing it, the human behind it, and bringing more questions. And I guess that's the point. The most you push people to question, I think the better it is, right?
I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And it complicates things and it makes things more human. And I think, and I imagine that's a challenge for an actor, but also it's a gift. Like you say, you have the opportunity there, it's a challenge, but also you have the opportunity to bring that character to life in a nuanced way with great material to work with, great script. Will Smith's obviously a fantastic writer. You know, you have all that there. It's like, that's all grist for your mill. And I like to dive into your sort of the process it was working with Will Smith. Obviously, as a writer, you know, he's fantastic. He's worked on stuff like, obviously, British sort of institutions like The Thick of It. Yeah, great comedy shows over here before going into Slow Horses. And then obviously, you're working with a director in Saul Metzstein, who's amazing. Great team. I mean, what was that like? What was it like working with those two guys?
Will and Saul, they are lovely, man. I mean, first of all, you're coming on set for that huge show, right? For the first time. Okay, I've been on set for Netflix, but, you know, for such a huge project, first of all, of course, you have all this track and you feel this, but it's unbelievable when you just come on set from preparation to being on set, really, action, and all the team around you. It makes you feel you are a family. You have been always been there. That's my feeling, to be honest. Like the first day shooting, I felt like, oh, yeah, I know this place. I don't know why, but the crew, they're all lovely, all, without citing names. But about Saul and Will, what's really I loved about it is they are very open-minded. I remember we had this conversation about Farouk. Of course, they from the casting, from what I've done, they understood that they understood the character. But we had these conversations and they even listened to some suggestions and they're very happy to incorporate, which is, what do you want more than that, right? It's like a collaboration. And you just feel secure, feel in a place where you can bring all of you in and everyone is happy. So imagine being with Gary Oldman, all the cast. These are huge names. You just, even the director, everyone. I mean, even the editor. Look, these big names, right? Big names. And you meet with them, the casting directors. And you are on set and you are with them. And yeah, it's like a dream, to be honest. Let me tell you also something else, which is with the gang, with the team. Okay, with Fadi. And the team and Tara, it was like a small family and the chemistry between us. So this team that put that characters on place and this chemistry and the dynamic between us, it was unbelievable. We never met before. And from the first action, this chemistry, everyone is on character and you see that is... So just, you understand that is a huge team, huge effort behind it.
Yeah. From what you're saying, I'm getting the sense that, like, even though you've got all this machinery around all these amazing actors and you've got the crew and all these, you know, it's a big show, it's a big production, Saul and Will were able to make it intimate and sort of and personal.
Very, very, yeah. Very. Mm. You are with the huge names and from huge talents on one set. And they make you feel part. I really loved that experience. And hopefully we're going to repeat it again and again and again. It's lovely, man.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm sure you will. I mean, because like I say, you were so good in the series. And you said something earlier where like you said that like being an actor and also linking that back to your previous career in karate and martial arts, there's a sense of like, you know, you might go out there and something might go wrong, you might make a mistake or someone else might make a mistake, but that's okay, you know, because like it's all about sort of making mistakes as much as being as the successes. I've heard people say that similar with acting and like being on set, is that like some of the best sets are the ones where you feel like you can, it's okay to mess up and all in the service of finding something truthful or, you know, something great.
That's where communication comes in place. I remember the first day on set, for the first time I'm meeting Will Smith and Saul. We were just talking like life. And then we spoke about Farouk. You know, with this and this and that. And they made you feel safe. You're not afraid to tell what you think. What are all your suggestions that you could bring to the character?
Mm.
Not, we are not even on camera yet, right? Now just talking.
Yeah.
Once you feel that, I mean, you feel free. And then when you feel free, you bring your performance alive. And to be honest, I haven't worked with directors previously that haven't made me feel that, to be honest. Even the DOP, the light man, everyone is making you feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's inclusive because there are some directors and I'm not even talking specifically about specific directors, but I feel like with directing, because obviously directing, you have to sort of be aware of so much that's going on, both with the actors in front of the camera and the crew and everything and the producers. Like, I think it's quite easy for directors to sometimes slip into being a little neurotic. Like, I've heard people talk about like what you've described there about the sense of being able to be free and open, and it's quite a liberated environment creatively. Nice. Can sometimes get a little bit tense, because obviously you have to, I think that takes an effort to make that environment. You know, it doesn't just happen. And I feel like, and so it's great to, I think sometimes an environment can arise on set where it can be a little bit, those creative impulses can be a little bit thwarted because it's not a free and easy atmosphere on set where there's communication. And so it's great to hear that it was like that on Civil Waters. And you get that sense watching it, that it's a, you know, organic.
Yes. Talking about that, you know, sometimes directors would challenge you, bring you out of your comfort zone. That's also lovely. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about other things which are purely negative. I'm talking about people there on set working on the creative side and they're collaborating because everyone has his own duty, responsibility to the show, to that dream, to that family. So if that is not there, so I don't think we're talking now creatively. We're talking on a different perspective that hopefully no one would feel that any
yeah.
any time on in his career, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think I agree with what you're saying. You want to also be pushed. You want directors to be able to push you to get something challenging. Yeah, exactly. Without obviously it be, but whilst keeping it still a creative environment and a good working environment. You talk with such enthusiasm about and love for not just acting, but for the craft of sort of a film and television, you know, the crew, you talk about this lighting, you know, you seem to be someone who really sort of, I imagine, were you observing a lot of that when you were on set? Were you just watching and talking and like sort of trying to find out as much as you could? Because you come across with so much enthusiasm.
First of all, I love what I do. And I'm lucky and grateful because I've never done something I don't like in life. I love acting. Not because I want to be on set or I want to be on lights. No. The feeling of acting. Keep working on yourself. Improving the inner, who you are. On set, of course, you are amazed by these people, man. From the cameraman to the sound guy to any, I mean, you have like 100 people around you, right? Everyone is like doing that from his heart. But not only that, they are gifted. They're one of the best in the world. So you have something to learn from them, right? Of course, I would observe. That's sometimes I go just to watch Gary Oldman preparing, or sometimes scenes are lovely to watch because they set in a different perspective or a challenging way. You would love to see how they have done it. I think one of the skills that an actor should have is observation, right? And listening. Not only on set, in life in general, because that's our background, that's our mechanism, how we can get all these informations for our imaginary world, right? But when you are on set, then you have people that like you, they're doing what you do. How they do that? Okay, watch that. Oh, you've done that this way, but why? Wow, I could do that maybe. And that's make you progress. You know, I've been a world champion. I've been on the podium for the world championship. I've got many things in life, got the best thesis in France, you know. But there is one point out of many that changed my life. Is going for a summer camp for 3 months in New York, studying acting at the Esper Institute. I mean, I went there thinking I'm going to become a better actor. I came back a better person. And then I think that's the beauty of acting. That's what is nourishing me, you know?
Mm. Yeah, well, I think it's all grist for your sort of mill, I guess, as an actor. You know, you have to be obviously be able to, acting is reacting, as they say, and it's listening. And so you mentioned something there, which I'd like to touch on, which is, and go deeper on, which is, so obviously as one of the antagonists of the series, you're up against Gary Oldman and his team of slow horses, and obviously the park with Kristen Scott Thomas. You know, some of the actors that you're opposite, you know, are some of the Britain's finest, you know, if not the world's finest, like Gary and Kristen. I think you mentioned it, but like, so you would go and watch them prepare, you would go and watch the work, even though obviously you weren't in scenes together, you would go and watch them.
Yeah, and talk to them.
Yeah, oh great, what was that like?
Yeah, it's lovely, man. You feel like every day confirming that any person who is huge, who have done achievements, he's so grounded. Any person. And I bet you about that. They don't make you feel like, oh, they're... No, no. Sometimes they made you feel like even they are less than you. I mean, it's unbelievable. When you speak with them, it's like, you know, you are talking to a normal people and they're here to help you. They're here to share with you. I'm telling you, it's a blessing beyond that for that show. It's not because I've been part of it. No, no, I'm honest. I wouldn't have said anything about it if it wasn't the truth, but it is the truth.
Yeah. And what were some of your conversations with, say, Gary? Like, so you say you chatted to him and did he talk about acting? Did you talk about, you know, what kind of things did you...
Not only Gary, but all the actors, we speak about the, you know, I can ask him questions like, okay, how is it when you are just an emerging actor, about asking about agent, about management, or asking about, or speaking about life. They can ask me, but oh Monty, how could you be world champion and an actor, multi skills? Could you tell us about that? It's about life. Like, it's, we try to share things. It's beautiful.
Mm. No, yeah. It's, I mean, it sounds like such a great environment to work in. And going back to Farouk then, because we've talked about how that performance, you know, and that character, he has that stoicism and is very committed, obviously, to what he's doing. But also he has that very subtle vulnerability, which he captures so well. And I mean, obviously, but as you say, he's doing sort of, you know, he's committing very sort of tough, you know, horrific acts and of, you know, violence. And I guess with him, and I'm curious to know, was it at all challenging on that front, bringing it into life? Because I've heard actors say playing a character, you obviously sort of try and see from that character's point of view, and judging the character objectively, that's where the problems start, of like going, oh, I don't like this person. But with you, was it just like, right, okay, I'm bringing it into life, I need to see from his perspective, you know, no, that's it? I mean, was that what it was like for you?
Look, I don't know why, but the majority of my castings or roles are for antagonists. Okay. And I love that because I think it's more interesting to bring the human behind that people, whatever it is, a killer in series, a psychopath. We give them names. But for me, they are human. And it's always a matter of perspective. I don't think if you ask anyone that you would judge as a criminal or as you are, no, not as you, but you as we, as people, as a criminal or as a villain or as, I don't think they would think for a second that you're right. And now when it comes to Farouk or to any character that we prepare, the first thing to do, no judgment. The character is you. It's your responsibility. The character is there to bring something to the audience, to provide a message. That's where you bring your experience to the character. And then you become one. And that's where Farouk, you would see the pain. Even though you don't understand why. There is no room for that, right? You cannot develop that in the show, but you can feel it because the preparation and the writing and the backstory that we built with Will and the team is there. But if it wasn't, then it's going to be more difficult to bring. That's where I'm telling you, any character you see on paper is always two-dimensional. It's black and white. But then it's up to the actor to bring to life and make it a person, real. Anyone could say, yeah, I believe him. I met someone like him.
Mm.
Or I understand him.
Mm. Yeah. And I guess that's a philosophy that totally seems to me to be shared by Saul and Will in the writing and the directing. Like, you know, these are all, you know, as much as we can make them three-dimensional people and then you bring them to life. In some ways, the antagonists, as you say, like of Farouk and the others, they have sympathetic qualities. Like they have been wronged by MI5 in the park in the past. There is a reason for what they're doing. I say it's show, not tell. It's like, you know, because there isn't the time, obviously, in five to six episodes to go into. That would be a whole of a series if you went and saw that. But you have to, that's, I guess, part of the challenge is you have to bring that to life with what you've got and what's on the page, and you do it show, not tell, which, like, as I say, you know, you did very well. So yeah, I feel like that's clearly a philosophy shared by the guys you're working with.
And you know, some people, they might not know, but we were speaking Libyan. It's a new language. It's like you're learning a new language, but the basics are the same. It's not like an accent that you have to learn, but we had to learn. And there is also an accent coach that was there for us, and I thank him, by the way, to become a Libyan, speaking like a Libyan. That also was a tough journey to do before being on set and prepare for that.
And with so talking about your sort of obviously the work you've done in the film and television industry so far, and then obviously your background in karate. I mean, do you feel like your experience not only does do you feel like your experience has given you sort of the discipline and the work ethic and the approach that sort of translates well to acting? Do you feel like it's also giving you because when I was doing my research, I heard that you've got a few projects in the pipeline, that one of the which you're writing, and like, you know, you've got work that you're obviously very passionate about. Do you find, like, coming from that background of being such a sort of world-class karate champion and like working in sports science for the Olympics and mixed martial arts, do you find that that gives you a bit more, I guess, clout in Hollywood or film or TV? Does it give you a bit more, I guess, muscle?
I think
So.
it gives me the tricks maybe and the experience, because any career, any journey, let's call like a journey from sports or science or any kind of other industry or acting. Some people they think being successful when they reach one goal. Who could say, okay, I'm successful today? Who? Maybe when someone dies, they would maybe judge him by being successful, right? After a long journey. So I think it's about that journey that you're gonna try to enjoy and never give up, but also because you don't have any other choice but succeeding and keeping going that journey. So failure doesn't exist, right? If you have that option that you're not gonna do anything in life, unfortunately. So that option doesn't exist. You have only one option, one goal. Keep going, enjoying, learning, failing, rebuilding, failing, rebuilding. And failure is part of that journey, right? But when I started acting, I had this feeling that, and that's where experience comes, when you were a karate player, either you wait for the opportunity to come to you, or you create it. Either I wait and I receive castings for the roles that they have them see me in it, which is fine, which is I love. Many of them, I love them. Or you create your own story and you build your own film, your own point of view, and you go and you write and you produce. And I'm writing now and I keep writing, producing, creating that environment for yourself to create opportunities for you. Hopefully that's going to lead to something. And even if it doesn't lead, I don't think about that as an end in itself. I am enjoying, I'm building, I'm learning, because when you write, you're better at analyzing the characters. Sometimes the dialogue itself, maybe it sounds, oh, then you have the skill to maybe to suggest some changes in the dialogue because the character wouldn't speak that. But if you haven't done that exercise at home and failed many times, so how are you going to succeed? So yeah, I'm trying to do that again with love and not waiting, just keep going.
Well, that's great to hear, Monty, because yeah, like, I guess actors are successful actors is that, yeah, they'll produce their own projects to get stuff off the ground, because, like, you know, because obviously the audition game, not that I've had experience with it, but like the audition game is such, it can be such a grind. You're going from one audition to another as an actor, like, you're like being a self-starter. And in some ways that's kind of, I mean, it's not the same thing, but like with the podcast, it's kind of, you have to be a self-starter. If you're making anything, you have to be a self-starter, don't you? So, and that puts you in the driver's seat a bit more.
And also you tell your stories. You have stories to tell, right?
Sure, yeah.
You have things you want to say and show to the world. Again, yes, you create opportunities, but also because you have something you want to say.
That you're
And
passionate
I feel
about.
I have things to say. So that's why I'm doing it. And I have a lot of projects in the pipeline with big names that they are believing in me. And I'm grateful for that because they're smart, right? They see that you got something.
Yeah, well, what can you tell us about some of these projects? Because I'm interested now. You piqued my interest. What kind of things can we expect coming from you down the line?
The first project that I'm going to shoot is a project that I saw it being developed from scratch with a director that became a friend after an audition, after a project that had never seen the light yet because of the COVID. He's from London, and we're going to do it next year. But what is I'm really putting a lot of effort is a feature film that I'm writing, and I cannot say much about it, but with a very well-known producer and a scriptwriter, and we are collaborating on that on a daily basis, and hopefully one day it's going to see the light. And it is very personal to me. That's very personal to me. I wrote the story. I wrote even the first draft of the script, but then we're doing it now from scratch because, you know, you bring these people and they have more experience than you and you're learning from them now.
Yeah. And when you say personal, I mean, obviously it sounds like personal because you wrote it, but also is it, in what other way is it personal? Is it drawn from your own experience? Or is it, because as you say, you wrote the first draft.
It is something coming from my grandfather, yeah, story. It's inspired by that. And,
okay.
And also it's about relationship in a very historical setting. So yeah, it's, yeah.
You don't want to give too much away.
No, I can't. That's the thing. I gave you already. I think you feel, right? You feel it. Why is it important? Why is it very personal?
Sure. Yeah. If it's coming from your family, then absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what could be more personal in many ways? Yeah. So, well, that sounds really exciting. I can't wait to hopefully see it, you know, soon. So you're producing and writing. Are you going to be starring in it as well? Are you going to be, on screen?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to be playing the main role in it. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I will be hopefully co-producing it. And of course, to be honest, I write to act.
You're writing yourself.
I write because I love acting, and I write for the thing that I really could bring, add value and, you know, new story to people, something very new. I think that's where the creative side is important. That's why I would tell you something. I've never liked writing, but now I love it. I'm a scientist, right? I am a scientist. I am 1 + 1 = 2. I write scientific papers, but it's different from writing scripts. But now I'm in love with that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because, yeah, you hear from a lot of writers that it could be like, you know, it's a lot of blood, sweat and tears. It could be a tough, difficult process, but it's great.
It is tough. I don't think I'm qualified yet to be a script writer. Where I could really bring, I would still need the help with to go to that level, right? My dream is very high, right? To go to the Oscar, to go to all these festivals, to hit the heart of people around the globe. It needs skill. And some people, they have been doing this for 30 years. They haven't done that for 30 years. So that's where people, they believe in you, in your story, they could really help you to do that. So I wouldn't qualify myself as a scriptwriter. I'm still in the process.
Mm. And it sounds fantastic. It sounds like, yeah, I mean, it sounds like great fun, of course, but the creative fun, but it also sounds like everything you've talked about, how the challenges of being an actor, the different, you know, showing, show not tell. How is that informing your writing process? Because obviously you're writing this to one day perform. So like, are you sort of pushing the character in places that you want to take it in terms of like, I want to try this emotionally. I want to see if I can do this with the character. Because obviously you're in the driver's seat as the writer.
This is my point of view. That could be a mistake. I think you have to think of the character, not from an actor point of view, but from a creation point of view. So you wouldn't think, oh, me as an actor, I would like to try that. But of course, as an actor, you know what kind of roles you would like to do. But then when it comes to writing, the characters create their own journey when you are writing them, because they're not you. Unless you are creating something about you. I think you need to remove the heart of actor and go to write the show, not thinking about the space that you're going to do in the show, or you're going to be the main or the second. No. It's the story. How could you inform the story the best way? How the actor could be unique in a way? And that's the process. Once it's done, once we finish, we remove the hat of the writer and then we go back to acting. That's sync.
That's great to hear, because I think I've gotten the impression from certain actors who obviously produce and write that, like, they're sort of, it is, they're doing that with their actor hat on, not with their storyteller hat on. And I think what you're saying is that, like, the important thing here is what's important to the story and the characters. It's not about what can I do as an actor in this role? How can I, you know, coming at it from that point of view, it's more like, no, yes. what's in service of the story and the characters?
And for both places, as an actor or I think somehow you need people around you. We cannot do this alone. That's where, for example, I've worked with the director of Moses. He's a great director, a huge Benjamin. And I've learned a lot of him. And we're still friends and we keep talking. It's how you create this environment for you where it brings. And the producer, maybe in another show, that could come. I like the way you think. I like there's something in you and you can bring. Again, I'm very grateful to the people I've met since I was young today that bring today who I am.
Yeah. Well, it's refreshing to hear as well. And I think that I think one of the things you'll talk about, correct me if I'm wrong, but is kind of an idea of humility, of being sort of grounded and being sort of, and having that perspective, which you talk about, like Gary on Slow Horses had, and the other actors and the crew. It was all about having obviously done the incredible things they've done. They're still very grounded and very sort of objective about what they do, which, you know, is, and yeah, it's lovely to hear.
You know,
I
will tell you a personal story, okay? I was very young and I won this tournament in karate. I was very, very young. And I got the medal, the cup, and then I'm getting down off the podium. I'm feeling like flying, right? My coach told me something that is still with me all the time. He told me, yeah, you won. So what's your feeling? I said, yeah, I'm the strongest. I am. I'm still young, right? I am that. I am that. He told me, the moment you put your feet down from that podium, you're not anymore that champion. You have to, again, work and defend your title. And if you feel that you're still there, then someone else is going to take that place very soon. So being grounded and having that dream helps any one of us to achieve. Otherwise, in anything, if you feel that, okay, I achieved that, or I reached it there, or I think that's the moment you die. Because you cannot learn. You cannot listen. If you think you are best, so what else?
Yeah, it's like, where else, if you're stuck in that mindset, it's almost like you've cut yourself off, because it's like, where else is there to go? And there's always somewhere else to go, right? There's always some
it's
other
always
mistake
something
to make.
New to learn. I mean, you can learn from a kid. Sometimes a kid can tell you something. Wow, what did you say now? And it's a lesson of life. That's why we live, right? We keep learning. We keep enjoying. We keep that process of nourishing ourselves from all point of view, trying to be a better version of ourselves. You are in the process. So I don't think anyone on earth said one day, again, these people that are successful, we don't talk of other people, they just talk to talk. Look at these examples. Muhammad Ali Clay, Bruce Lee, all these, Michael Jackson. Listen to them. They're still striving to learn, even before they die.
I mean, you mentioned Bruce Lee there, of course, an icon of martial arts cinema. I mean, because I hear what you're saying about how you're so enthusiastic about, like, the various projects you've got on the go, and how, you know, and this project that you're writing is, sounds like it's a period piece set, you know, is in a historic piece, I want to say. Like, are there any genres that you're particularly keen on sort of exploring as an actor or as a writer? I mean, like, would martial arts be one? Or would you rather go somewhere else, like in another direction?
No, I'm very... I like the adventure. We try to open doors, but then when the doors are open, let's go and enjoy the journey. I don't think I want to put myself in a box. I am very open to any kind of experience that at the end I think is going to be who I am later. Today I speak this way, tomorrow I'm going to be a different. It's me, still me, but it's going to be different, okay? Hopefully. But of course, I love the action movies. I love, and it's unbelievable how these movies are done, because I know it's very, action are very tough to shoot. And I've done a few of them. Sometimes one scene takes you a day, while drama, you could shoot maybe 3-4 scenes a day. But I'm again, that background brings who I am. Yeah, I can do action, I can do drama, I don't want to be stuck in any place. As a writer, I'm more interested in relationships.
Mm. Yeah, interpersonal. Yeah, the drama of it, yeah.
Yeah, the drama of it, yeah.
Fantastic. I guess one last question, something that we ask a lot of our guests. I mean, because you come across with so much passion and enthusiasm for what you do. I mean, and the people you've worked with as well. Like, you know, you've been, you've said, spoken so lovingly of the people you've worked with and collaborated with. I mean, is there any sort of particular director or writer or actor out there in the world that you're a fan of who you would like love to work with if you got the chance? Like, who's kind of sparking you, your passion these today that like you would love to work with?
Very difficult question. Very difficult question. First of all, I would love to work with the people that are believing in me now. The majority of the people that I've worked with, and some of them they haven't yet. I'd love to work with that people first, because they believe in me. They believe in who I am. Now, as an inspiration, as a dream, as looking high, these big names. I don't want to also say one name or two. There are lots who inspires us, like from actors to showrunners, to writers, to directors. There's not only one. I don't have like one person I would like to work with. I would be open to that opportunity and go and learn and show what I'm capable of and see who I am and discover that more and more. And again, I'm very lucky, because till now I haven't felt a different. So I've been in London last week for an audition. I've been in a room with the casting director, the director that I've never met. It's just that 30 or minutes, you feel free already, you know. We today actors, we are lucky to have all these people around us, that they are not only one of the best talented, creative, but also very human. And I would love to keep that.
Well, that's what makes it all, you know, I think Ray Bradbury said, like, art is all about the asides. It's all about, you know, I guess, like you say, what it means to be a person, what it means to be, you know, a human being. So hopefully we can, you know, look forward to seeing much more, you know, more of that from you, you know, soon.
Thank you for, secondly, now, thank you for this lovely interview. I'm also learning, you see, this is one of my first in English.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you did very well. So,
thank you. So again, even just a simple interview, you learn of it, then you're going to improve next time or whatever, right? So thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for taking the time and for this beautiful question, and also for this safe place.
My pleasure, Monty. I mean, like you said, I mean, like you're always learning, and I'm always learning. Like, you know, I'm learning every single one of these. I'm learning. So, and learning how to listen and how to respond, you know, naturally. So, no, this was so much fun. This was such a blast, Monty. Well, thank you so much for coming on Off the Picture, Monty. This was such a pleasure, and I can't wait to see what you've got coming up next for us in the pipeline.
Thank you so much for this nice interview.
My pleasure. Our pleasure, sir. Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening to my conversation with Monty Beck. Remember to like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, and stay tuned for more exciting interviews and guests coming soon on Half the Picture.